First, we'll take a report from Tony Bates. Tony Bates is part of the team that went with Grace Aaron to BAI, and he has worked at KPFA, KPFK, beg your pardon. He was on KPFA staff, and he can tell you a little more about himself there, but primarily he'll be giving a report on WBAI and his experiences there.
That's enough about me. Anyway, so I was a part of the team that went to WBAI, and I'm going to give you a little shortened version of what we did. We kind of put a report together that looked at what we found that might be problems and what we suggested as some fixes. We'll leave that part out and go over this for now. First thing that we noticed was that there was an extremely dedicated and talented core staff, people who really cared about the station, really cared about Pacifica. That was definitely heartening to walk in and find that there was a lot of really good programming at the station, but as with all of our stations, there is those spots where there need to be changes or programming that is not as strong. Speaking to staff, speaking to anyone we could related to the station, we found that what they saw as the major dysfunction within the station itself in terms of hardware function was the phone system. They have an antiquated phone system which inhibits their ability to fundraise. Literally, they have push-button phones that look like they're from maybe the late 80s or early 90s. It's drastic, to say the least. That must be addressed. According to most that we spoke to, during fund drives, sometimes you can't tell which phone's ringing. Someone will go to pick up a phone, and another phone will be ringing instead. It's apparently out of hand, and it's costing revenue, according to the folks in the station. So, of course, that needs to be upgraded as quickly as possible. The next thing that we found was that the electronics in the building were subpar in general. The equipment was subpar. It's old. It's outdated. The station really needs an influx of new equipment. Even I kept commenting, I don't know how they're on the air with this equipment. They have a cart system in studio, which is not used by most other stations at this point. There are software programs that can do what a cart system does. It's cumbersome. It's difficult for the engineers. According to the engineers, it's difficult for them to use, difficult for them to then play carts that are required in between programs, whatever those might be. There is no There's no traffic coordinator at the station. So this makes it difficult in terms of scheduling carts, in terms of program scheduling, in terms of what's going to be on the air. When there was an emergency and they found that there wasn't a program in place, or a host might have showed up late or a host might not show up, the engineers were tasked with having to find programming pretty quickly, maybe going to AudioPort, maybe going to Pacifica Radio Archives, downloading something and getting that onto the airwaves. Next, their computer systems are, again, in disrepair and antiquated. They don't have a network in the building, per se. Many of the computers are connected to one server, but there isn't a true network within the building. And that can, of course, be a big problem. They've got a technical support person who's kind of held the station together with whatever kind of magic he does. Things literally look like they've been put together by this guy's ingenuity. So he's worked hard at that, but the equipment itself needs to be replaced, upgraded, updated. They also need an online archiving system and the web streams. These were decent, but the web presence is being underutilized. We find that there isn't a lot of communication between the webmaster and the programmers or general manager, and sometimes this is just a matter of the fact that he was laid off. But during fund drives, the web is not being utilized properly. We have found that at KPFK, we bring in $30,000 to $70,000 each fund drive on the web alone. At WBAI, people rarely, we are told, pitch to the website. This can be a resource that can instantly bring in a revenue stream to the station during this coming fund drive if the website is put into play or put into use properly. We were hoping that we could build a page similar to the one that we use before this fund drive starts. We don't know that we're going to be able to put that into place, but it's definitely something that should be a priority. We found that there were other areas. The host that they're using for the website is too expensive. They could probably cut that bill in half if someone shopped for a different host. We did that at our station as well. That's, again, a simple place, a small amount of money, but it definitely makes a difference. Also, the online calendar we thought could be used a little more efficiently for LSB announcements, LSB events. And we thought also that producers, each of the producers and hosts, should have access to the website so that they can have a page of their own, inform their listeners of what's going to be on the show, maybe take questions on the web, some kind of focus on the web so that producers and the website are working together. I already covered the production thing. We'll go on. Fund drives are a problem we found there. There are rarely any fund drive meetings. Now, unlike other signal areas, I'm guessing, WBAI has already had at least 4 fund drives this year, which is incredibly taxing for the entire station, for the staff. So we thought that, or what we do is, a month before the fund drive, generally, our station begins to prepare. It's a little less time for them because they have to have them so frequently, but they aren't having regular meetings for fund drives. They're not discussing planning and strategizing for fund drives. It's falling largely upon a couple of folks, and this, again, stresses the system. And I have found, and especially at fund drive time, that when the staff is together in the room, working together, discussing what's going to happen, everything flows more efficiently during the drive. It is a necessity to have fund drive meetings, in my opinion. The programmers are often not informed of the schedule in time for fund drive. It's not just that they need a schedule. A simple notice to them of the dates would be a sufficient start. In that way, hosts aren't booking guests during fund drive that have nothing to do with fund drive. If you send out a simple email or some kind of announcement so that they know and they're prepared, if you tell them the week before, which was reported to us it happened, a week before, a couple of days before, sometimes it was being reported to people that they had a fund drive coming. So that certainly has to be corrected. And, I mean, just as a courtesy to programmers, guests, staff, it's very important. The fund drive premium registration, which is done electronically in our signal area. Our webmaster built a page at WBAI. They do this by hand. Again, an antiquated system that can be replaced fairly easily with the help of a good webmaster, and from all reports, the one they have is a pretty good guy on the web. This would save the staff time. It would make the process of fund drive so much more efficient. All of the information that's needed for each item is placed into that form. It's kept on a website, and up to a certain point, in our signal area at least, all of the producers have access to that. At some point, when we need to cut down the number of premiums, the general manager has to approve them prior to them being put on that list. Another practice that would be good. Forward promotion of the fund drive. While we were there, they were 3 weeks away from a fund drive. There were no announcements on the air. No one had been informed. It's that kind of unpreparedness that leads to a lack of revenue, at least to some degree. For any station, that would be the case. Volunteers. There was a bit of tension around volunteers at the station. We found that there are factions, that people are responding to factionalism instead of just allowing volunteers in. Everyone seemed afraid that some list was going to be stolen. I don't know what this list is, but everyone's afraid of it, whatever it is at BAI. And so volunteers were actually removed from the station at points because someone feared they might have some agenda. Other volunteers weren't allowed into the station because someone feared they would have access to a list. And with the staff that they have, it's such a skeleton crew, they have to utilize volunteers as much as possible. There have to be systems put into place where volunteers come in and start to replace some of those jobs that staff is no longer there to do. It is of the utmost importance, in my opinion. For instance, we thought of maybe helping with the premium scheduling specific days. The specific jobs would be done. One day you would print out labels. The next day you'd have volunteers come in who would put those into envelopes. The next day mail. Whatever the case is, whatever works for them, it's up to them to decide, obviously. But we looked at it, and it looks like with a few systems in place, it could create some more efficiency. The audience hasn't received premiums for, in some cases, 3 years back. No, really. 5 years back, as Linda will tell you. And this is outlandish. The audience feels insulted. It is no wonder they are no longer wanting to send their money to Pacifica. So this is an immediate need that must be addressed. And again, it's not like the people in those positions aren't doing all they can. In our station, we have four people in the membership department. In WBAI, they have one who is not even trained on the system, the MIMSA system, which runs the department. And this will only lead to more inefficiency. The staff is really working hard. They're doing, multiple jobs in every case. Memberships and subscriptions, there we are. They're overwhelmed. They need training. Volunteers better utilize. They have to begin to, what we do is, especially during fund drives, we identify volunteers who might have strong skill sets, and then we ask them to come back at other times to do specific jobs. It is my job to do that, to look and see, it looks like that you're good at this. Why don't you come in and help us in this place? Why don't you come in and help us in that place? Volunteers are not just a resource, but when you have that kind of a program in place, they're willing to come in when they know specifically what they're going to do, what kind of job. Also, during fund drives, WBAI has not been scheduling their volunteers specifically. They simply say, we need volunteers. People come in as they wish. There is no specific time, no day. They might say, I'm coming in Tuesday. They might say, I'm coming in. There is a lack overall of protocols and of structures within the station. Throughout the station, we found this to be the case. Programming, the staff reported that the programming was basically put on or off at the whim of the PD. The PD, who is, I'm really not sure of the status of that person. They also said they were unable to ascertain or verify any uniform policies being followed or enforced regarding programming. And we observed that there seemed to be a lack of diversity reflecting the really diverse communities in the city of New York, such as Latino, Asian, age diversity, and other groups. Those things seem to be missing from the airwaves. Again, I was in that city for the first time in my adult life, and there is just an incredibly beautiful diversity of people in that listening area. So finally, we saw all of these things. We saw the good people. The two things that stood out was to a person almost that we spoke with, they felt there were no structures or protocols in place in the station, and those things needed to be put into place. More importantly, they felt like even if we put those protocols into place, they needed enforcement from the very top, that someone had to be willing to step up and enforce whatever protocols were, or that they were no good. They said to us, if there's no enforcement, rather, there's no need to put protocols into place. Yes, we need protocols. Yes, we need procedures, but we need leadership mostly. That was the feeling that I left with. The folks that we spoke to felt like they needed leadership from the very top of the organization. That's all.
Before, thank you, Tony. Before we take questions, I'd like to ask Kathy Davis to offer some of her own remarks about the situation at WBAI. Kathy Davis is a staff rep from WBAI.
Thank you. Yes, I'm a staff rep from WBAI, and I function there as the public affairs director, which in some stations I think they call senior staff. One of the points I wanted to make about WBAI, one of the frustrations I've had in this process of being on the LSB for 2 years and then finally on the PNB, is that there was a disconnect in understanding what was happening at WBAI. I know on the PNB, all I could hear was, it's the programming. We have to change the programming. There's something wrong with BAI's programming. Otherwise, they'd be making money. And I had been for a long time defending the programming at WBAI because we have some of the best, I believe, in the network. And certainly some of the best came from WBAI, if you believe that Democracy Now! Is one of the best. So my point is that we have good programming, but what we don't have is our systems in place, and what we don't have are just the basic ability to function as a business, to be able to take care of our responsibilities as a business and to have the place managed and functioning well. I really appreciated the fact that we had some of the staff coming in from KPFK because they're in that I receive affirmation that, yes, we do indeed have good programming, and, yes, indeed, we have some serious problems on the ground that need to be corrected and assisted in some fashion. And also is the acknowledgement that the layoffs, I mean, we were understaffed anyway, but, and we've had series of layoffs over the last couple of years that have been catastrophic for WBAI. And at one time, our website functioned very well. At one time, our premiums department functioned very well. But gradually, I would say because of a lack of planning and organizing around our function, around the fundraising, around development, the station has been in a decline. And I would have to say that a lot of the problems have existed for a long time. In our last contract, after contract, we actually, as a staff, wrote into that contract, demanded that we have at least from 30 to 40 days to plan a fund drive. So this is a very long-standing problem that has not been addressed. And so I'm grateful that these things are now being addressed, but I want everybody to understand that this is a problem that has happened over many years, has not been addressed over many years. Locally, our LSB had been in denial about there being a financial problem, about there being any problems. And nationally, it's all, there's not been a real understanding and a real acknowledgement of what needs to change at WBAI. So I believe that this is positive and that BAI has an opportunity to develop and to grow with a greater understanding of what some of these problems have been on the ground. So I think this is a good thing. I don't think it was a good thing, you know, the business with the transmitter. I thought that was a real mistake. But I think that out of this can come something very positive, and that's what I'm hoping for. Thanks.
So I saw a series of hands there. So Tony wants to add a few remarks, and then by my count, we were supposed to end at 9, but I think we're about half an hour behind schedule. So I just want to get a sense of the board as to when you want to end. I'm assuming you're going to end at 9:30 and get over to the station. So that's the schedule I'm operating on, unless anybody has any other suggestions. So, Tony, then I'll take a stack according to the hands I've seen. Do you have something?
No, I don't.
Okay, fair enough.
So I just wanted to add one thing that I thought was really glaring that I kind of left out, and that was that in that signal area, WBAI, we heard on the airwaves programmers denigrating other programmers, and to a degree that was intense and frightening, and I think that that conflicts our listeners and inhibits the flow of money into the station. Because when you're told that the thing that you're supposed to be supporting is a bad thing, what do you do? Do I send money or don't I? This is not allowed at KPFK. There was language written into our after contract that stops us from being able to do that. That is not to say you can't do a news report on something that's happening at Pacifica, WBAI. But I think that this is, that anyone on the airwaves at KPFK, whether on the board or I'm sorry, at Pacifica, has a fiduciary responsibility. And when you're putting forward negative whatever about the station on a regular basis, you are costing this network money. And that needs to be addressed immediately.
Okay. I actually didn't look this way when, I see. So I'm going to take Afia, Jim, Lizette, Jamie, AC, and then George. Oh, and Leslie, thanks. And Wendy. Afia.
Again, I want to thank you, Tony, and the other people who went to BAI to with our wonderful, wonderful, diligent, hardworking, self-sacrificing chair and interim executive director to help BAI restore itself to its former glory. I made a mistake earlier thinking that Lim Lim had been a part of the crew that took on this task, and I would appreciate it if you would cite the names of the people who were, in fact, involved.
Grace Aaron.
Grace Aaron, LaVarn Williams, Jonathan Alexander, Ali, Lexa, and myself, Tony. Y'all are funny.
I wanted to make one quick remark. You know, it's true that KPFA did not assist in this particular effort, but LEMLEM did give us a support and will provide us with staff if we needed to send a second crew of people into WBAI to help out. She promised to help with that.
Okay. Jim, you're next on the stand. I got you.
Thank you. Tony, what was the general manager's response to this report?
The report wasn't given to the general manager, oh. As far as I know, unless the acting ED gave it to the general manager.
Guzette?
Thank you, Chair. I want to commend the team that was led by Grace Aaron to go to WBAI to address some of the issues that we've been hearing about for years. I would admit that I believe that there have been mistakes, but I do not believe that those mistakes overshadow the sentiment and the intention with which that that trip was made. As a black person sitting on this board, I want to challenge anybody out there about the notion that that trip was racist. I think it's more racist to have a station that is supposed to have been, I don't really live in New York, but I understand that there are a lot of black programs on it right now. And I wonder if it is fair for us to have a station that is supposedly black to be operated at the level at which we heard today. That, to me, is racism. Mm-hmm. I am very concerned, too, that although we say we are a network, we are working as divided stations. During community comment, I heard some remarks about us challenging us on the PNB to go read the bylaws. I do not believe that we need bylaws to feel when we are going under. When we are going, we're not swimming now, you know. We're sinking and our heads are going under. And for years, as a matter of fact, PFWs, and I don't know if I should say this, but their money was being moved from our account to BAI. And those people who've come here to criticize us and call us all kind of names, none of them have come up with a strategy as to how we should help BAI leaking and bleeding the rest of us. Nobody has done that. And for as long as I sit on this board, I will not stay quiet and shut up when I hear anybody try to demean my cause, which is racism. It is a very serious matter. Racism is not to be taken lightly. It is not about the name that you call me. It is about the institution and how it affects me. That is what I look for when we talk about racism. Far too often, and I think what happened, we got too comfortable in a situation where we have become do-nothing people or do-little. And now that Grace Aaron, with the support of the PNB, has decided to grab the bull by its horns, she's getting names of all sorts. Where in Pacifica do we have the space for somebody to be ridiculed because of their religious religious affiliation or choice. Where in Pacifica is that space? I would argue there is none. So I am urging now, and thank you, Tony, right?
Indeed.
Thank you very much, because when I challenged you today, he looked black to me, right? And I thought from what I was hearing and all the emails that came through my email, I thought that the Scientologists went up there with a gang of white people. Lo and behold, it's three blacks and one white. Four and one white. I dare you to call that racism. And I thank you very much, Grace, from the bottom of my heart, because you see this Pacifica here? It is bigger than all of us. I visited KPFA today, and when I left that building, if I had a doubt as to what I was going to fight for, that doubt went when I saw what Lou Hill and others like him in his day put in place for those of us to be fooling around. We have staff members, as I told them, trying to save money while the rest of us squander it. That cannot be fair.
Thank you, Lizette. Jamie.
Thanks. Well, that's a difficult act to follow, as they say. There's a couple of things that I did want to point out about WBAI. It's often pointed out that WBAI has higher rent costs than every other station, which is true. We have much higher fixed costs, which makes it all the more urgent that we actually make enough money to make ends meet. In my opinion, the one point that I wanted to make is at some points people make the argument that our whole financial problem at BAI is due to the high rent costs. And I would say that they're part of the issue, but they're not the entire issue. BAI's fundraising is much weaker than comparable stations. For each day of fundraising in the recent winter drive, the West Coast stations, KPFA and KPFK, pulled in $37,000 of actual money for each day in the winter drive. And both of those were bad drives for those stations. Whereas BAI, in comparison, pulled in $15,000 per day. So that's $15,000 versus $37,000. We're doing less than half as well as the big West Coast stations. So, you know, the rent situation in BAI is true. It's a factor in our problem, but it's certainly, we have other issues as well. And I will say that we've gotten into this hole of not solving our problems, and instead we've been doing more and more fundraising and longer fundraising. And this has been obvious for several years, and some of us have pointed this out as a practice as a road that we should not go down. But we have gone down it, and I believe that has definitely hurt us. The drives going on longer and longer, as Tony points out, puts intense pressure on the whole fun drive process, on the volunteers, and things really don't work as well as they could. And so whatever dysfunctions there are get magnified. So, you know, BAI is in a hole now. And I just want to say I'm very glad that Grace has taken the bull by the horns, as I believe in Luzette's word, and actually taken this problem on. You know, Pacifica cannot let BAI go on like this anymore. Thanks.
AC is next.
Well, first of all, I want to say this. That is that You know, this question that's being bandied around about race, there has to be a context to understanding racism. It is not based on a minor sort of issue. And I don't know the context under which there have been sources and people who might have seen this as a racist act. We don't know that. We haven't seen that. And I don't think Lucette can justify giving an apology for race, in my view, based on that. And I think, on the other hand, there's been people been in this movement for a long time and who understand that this can be as diverse, as widespread as anything else. And so you can't say what the deal is. What we need to do, in my opinion, as a board, is begin to look into things like this somewhat on a scientific basis. We can't just willy-nilly come up with a solution like that. I mean, we have lots of experience in the United States with people who claim to be experts on race. One of the ones is right here in California, Ward Connolly. And also you have people like Clarence Thomas and a number of others who claim to be experts on this question. So I would think that any, and I think it's a, in many respects, with all due respect to you, Lucette, as a director, in many respects, to paint a broad picture of the people in New York or any place else in this country who might perceive something as being racist. It may not be racist, but on the other hand, it could be. And the fact is, we need to examine these factors before we banner it around as if though this is a pretext for something else. And I'd like to say, too, that a question I want to ask LaVarne, it was about the million-dollar issue in PFW. Well, I didn't understand all the things you were saying about that. You were saying it was counted, wasn't counted. What was your...
Oh, no, I'm saying that it was in the revenue for 2008.
Okay.
That was counted as revenue, and that's the way it was booked. It was as revenue. And, like, there's a, you know, an opinion, in fact. It was surprised that someone else knew this who wasn't a finance person, that you could have treated it other than, you know, initially treating it as income. You would, like, book it as a long-term receivable, or, you know, or then when it's recognized, you do it as deferred as revenue. Yeah. Or as revenue, or deferred revenue.
Was it also also addressed as a restricted fund?
Oh, right, and exactly, as a restricted fund. And, you know, since you asked me a question, you know, I'd just like to say that, you know, I was on a trip. My name's LaVarne Williams, and I consider myself a New World African woman. And I'd like to thank the pastor, I think the Congressional Church here in Oakland, who used that term. But, you know, I strongly identify with that. And that, you know, I think it's very racist to allow someone to fail and to not to try to correct that action by calling it racist to help that person. So, you know, that's what I consider racism. And let me say one other thing. I was on the national board. I was the treasurer, but I'd been away for over a year. And the last time when I was here, there was like a task force to address BAI's problem. And the solution for this task force was to have a party. The solution with Grace and her is to come in, look at what the real issues are, get the team in there, and then suggest means to correct those actions. And I think that that's very positive. And that has nothing to do with racism. That has to do with protecting the foundation in realizing the vision of Lou Hill.
Point of information, Chair. Just a point of information.
I didn't finish my
comment. Chair, do you know whether we have had any documentary evidence about that $1 million donation to PFW? Have you ever seen anything with that information?
If it was booked in the general ledger, we do have the documents. It is documented, and it was, so there is documentation for that. But we can, I will absolutely go in and pull it up and so you can see it. I will do that.
Thank you. Leslie's next on the stack.
Yeah, hi, and thank you for those reports. I want to weave a couple of things together here kind of quickly because I'm looking at our consolidated P&L for the first 6 months. Couple of things here that I think are incredibly good news, all things considered. What I'm looking at here is that our expenses are only 0.5% off our budget at this point. I'm looking at income that, given that part of what's missing from income is a CPB grant, is only 2.5% short, if I'm reading this correctly. It looks like we're turning a corner at this point. I know there are still some more staff adjustments to be made here at KPFA. I would like to suggest, as I look here at this and at this situation, that perhaps one of the things that this board can do is allocate some money to BAI to update their computer systems, to update, perhaps get them a couple of staff people over there to take care of what's needed. We keep hearing that there are these concerns, and I'm looking at the money situation, and it's not a disaster. Now, you know, that could flip in a moment, but if what we need at BAI is a decent computer system, is some training on MEMSIS for these people, is a modern CART system, and a couple of staff people and subscriptions, even if they're temps, let's do it and let's take care of this mess. I mean, that strikes me as the answer to the problem right now. I know we're all tired to some extent of thinking that our donations are going to New York, but we are a network. And it is the truth that New York bailed the rest of this network out back in the day, and it sounds like they're running on the same equipment they had back then, quite frankly. Now, I am a member of KPFK, who I represent, but I make a donation to BAI because they need it, because they are our sister station. And it's not much, and it's not as much as I give to K. But if every member who could sent $20 to BAI, they'd have the systems and the people in place to do the job. They would free up their management to start setting up the systems and protocols that we keep hearing they need so that they're not putting out fires and patching together computer systems on the side. That strikes me that a shot in the arm right now is going to put BAI back on the map again. Thank you.
It is about 9:30 now, so I'll assume that the interest that we have in getting out of here or, you know, going to the station will help police the, you know, regulate the time that people use up to speak. So next on the stack is, do you have a response?
Yeah, just quickly. I'm glad that Leslie pointed out some of the expenses because the one that I definitely wanted to tell you is that on a year-to-date basis, our board expenses – we had a budget of $118,000, and we have spent $27,432. And I think that that's the lead that was taken by Grace at KPFK, and the KPFK group did, and we have tried to follow that example here at A. So, you know, we've saved $90,000, almost $600. So, yeah.
Wendy.
A question for Grace. It's about elections. I was looking at the schedule. We're going to talk about elections tomorrow, but the question is, how close are we to hiring a national election supervisor? When is that going to happen?
Yes, I mentioned in my report that I had the help of some people from the National Election Committee to revise the RFP, Request for Proposal for National Election Supervisor that has been posted and broadly, and we're going to look over the new proposals and choose a National Election Supervisor very soon.
Rico.
Thank you guys for those reports. I'd like to speak a little bit to to the public to let them, so I can put things in perspective. I feel a little uncomfortable on this side of the table because I'm so used to being on that side of the table, but I'm trying to get used to it. I am an activist. That's what I am. And just to put it out there, Grace brought me into the Pacifica Foundation. And when she brought me in, she knew that I was an activist, but she didn't really know me. And I'm thinking, well, she don't know what she's getting, do she? So I came on board because I think that there is nothing more important in this country than the media. And we know what's happening with the commercial media and the main media. So Pacifica Foundation has an importance that is so important. It's more important than any other issue in our country because it helps persuade people's mind and opinion, which allows the government to go run amok. So that's why I came on board. And Grace brought me on board. And when I came on board, I'm just getting information from Grace and people who she agreed with. So I played it cool and I said, I'm going to listen to what she has to say, but I'm going to also make it my duty to get other opinions. So I've been quiet so far, and especially about Grace. But, I've seen and heard the attacks that have been placed upon her, and I feel that I have to speak up about this. And especially the action that she's taken and making herself a target and addressing the problems at WBAI, which are so paramount and in need of being addressed and has been in need of being addressed for so very long. And then, of course, when somebody throws the race card out there, all the white people freeze. Right? All the white people freeze because they don't know. I don't want to be seen as a racism. At the same time, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to chill and watch this. Right? Except for Sean, of course. All right, but the thing is that a lot of black people freeze too because they don't want to be called an Uncle Tom if they disagree, right? And I froze too. I froze, but I didn't freeze out of fear. I froze because I didn't really know what to do, and I wanted to find out the facts. And after listening to this group, first of all, the group that went there, because I got all the emails too, the complaints, and we are doing something wrong. We are definitely doing something wrong. Either we are doing the wrong thing, or we are not getting the information out there of the work we're doing so that the public understands what we're doing and can come on board. And that's why transparency is so very important, because then people can buy into it. And transparency before the act is very important too, because that allows them to buy into it and have ownership. And if they disagree, they can bring that out there, we can consider that, and then maybe we can attack a problem differently. Anyway, my main point I want to make here is that when I heard all these cries for racism, and I found out that the group that went down there were four blacks and one white, three blacks and one white, I'm thinking, you know, what is the deal? Unless, and two whites. And an Arab. Three blacks, an Arab? Yeah. Oh, man, that makes my point even more. But either she's very good at finding the best Uncle Toms, or this is all false information. And after looking at all the facts, and I really wish that we didn't have any sessions that were executive sessions, because I really wish that the public could hear what goes on in executive sessions, because I think if you knew the information that we know up here, that there would be a lot more agreement than we have right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Rico. Nia is next on the side.
Okay. I don't even know where to start with all that. I don't know about this thing about any cries of racism because, you know, people came to the station. Maybe that went on in another PMB listserv that I didn't observe. It's not a matter. I don't know where that happened. I'll just like to say that the and again, we're repeating the same net. The mistake was being repeated. Jim asked, has this report been given Grace to Tony? Here we are discussing this on the World Wide Web, and the main man, Anthony Riddle, doesn't have a copy of this. I have a problem with that. I think that he should have known that, you know, folks were going. Okay, he should have been the first to know. He did not know that. And again, we have a report that we're all discussing, and he still doesn't have it. There's something about, you know, employee relations. You can't do this. This is not the way to manage someone. You need to let him know. Now, Rika talked about transparency. I, for one, did not know. I was not aware that Grace was going to go to WBAI. Maybe there were some PNB members who were privy to that. I don't object. I hear a name in corner over here that, you know, they didn't know. I don't object to anybody going there, but the fact of the matter is it was purported that this was sanctioned by the PNB, and it was not. And in New York, I asked Grace to please, you know, let the PNB know about it. We, like I said, maybe some folks know. I knew absolutely nothing about it. That's not the point. There's no hierarchy of PNB members. Why is it that some PNB members knew that this was going to happen and others did not know? So there were listeners who asked us those questions and they weren't answered. So that's the transparency. And I still say I think it is improper. I think it's disrespectful for Anthony Riddle, the general manager of WBAI, to now be hearing this report. I assume he's listening. I don't know. On the stream. That's not the way you manage people. It is not correct.
I think we are now at the end of this session, and there's now a reception at KPFA. I think this part of the meeting is now adjourned, unless anybody has any other business.